We want to give thanks to God for all the families that are here, for loving their kids and bringing to the house of the Lord. So let's give thanks to them. As they are going out, before I start the sermon, one thing that I want to say is we want to thank God for our worship team. Don't you? Yes? Yes. Rain or shine, work or not, they're here early morning. They start here early morning. Sharon is here early morning. And gather and they practice. And by the time you come, they have been here for almost 2 hours. So, Sharon, good job. And we want to thank you for leading the great team. Yeah. Venture Christ. We've been talking about venturing with Christ in Christmas. Not venture capital or... there's nothing wrong to be a capitalist, but on Christmas, during this Christmas season, we want to talk about venturing with Christ. I have heard from many of you how this series has been a blessing to both of you, and God's word is timeless, and during this special time of Christmas, it makes it more meaningful. And it's joyful to hear how God is blessing all of you through this Christmas season. We want to talk about Kingdom Startup today. Many of you have been a part of being a startup in a startup company, but we want to talk about Kingdom Startup today. And I want to talk about 4 Startup Kingdom Action Plans, because every company, every startup have an action plan. If you don't have an action plan in a startup company, you know you're going to fail. So I want to talk about 4 startup plans. There are more, but today, 4 on the Kingdom Startup. So we're still at God Inc. And how God works through all of us to establish His kingdom here on earth. That the will of God from heaven is also done here on earth. The first thing that I want to talk about is that the Kingdom Startup begins with the right fit. Just as any startup company starts, the company starts with the right fit. You're looking for the right fit. The second point that I want to talk about is that Kingdom Startup begins with the right name. If you start a company, you're looking for the right name, or a ministry, or a church. You think about naming that thing right. The Kingdom Startup begins with the right mission. If you don't have a mission statement, you're not going to go anywhere. And the fourth one is that Kingdom Startup begins with the right vision. So we're looking at the right fit, with the right name, the right mission, and the right vision. So I was looking at from the Inc. company on how they made a study on how more than 130 startup company failed. Why did they fail? And at the top of the failure, 85% of why they failed in those 20, they have a 20 point of why they failed. But at the top, number one, was that arrogance was at 85%. Because of arrogance, the startup company failed. Now, it's good to be confident. See, arrogance and confidence is very different. It's good to be confident to start a company, that the leader of the startup company is confident. He knows, she knows what they're doing. But when you're arrogant, then that's a different thing. Because when you're arrogant, you're not reading the pulse of the market. You don't have a market plan. You don't have a business plan. You don't have an advisor. You're not working with people, but you're just going with what is, you know, I can do this. And when startup company, when the leaders are arrogant, it fails. So 85% startup company failed because of arrogance. There was a man sent from God when you look at the scripture today. In John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God. This is the right fit. Because the right feet start that with kingdom startup started with a send down. Hey? It started with a send down. Who sent? God sent down John. Okay. Why was he a right fit? When he was getting very popular, a lot of people were coming out to him and he was baptizing a lot of people. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the Messiah. He has become so popular. They thought he was the Messiah. Well, sometimes fame and popularity gets into our head and we forget that we have a boss. We forget that we serve somebody and you try to take glory to yourself. Right? That's pride and arrogance. Did John do that? No. He said that there is a man coming right after me whose sandal strap I cannot lose. I'm not fit to do that. He's going to baptize you by fire. He didn't claim to be the Messiah. This was a humble guy. He was not arrogant. Because the right fit has the right foundation. When you read in Luke 1, 5 and 6, it says that in Luke 1, there was a man named Zacharias. He was from the family of Abijah, the priest Abijah. He was a descendant from that priest. And there was a woman named Elizabeth, who was a daughter of Aaron. These were priestly couple. And they kept all the commandment, and they were righteous people. It says like that in the scripture in Luke. But what happens is, because Elizabeth doesn't have a child, people think that God has cursed her, and she carries this reproach and shame in the society because she couldn't have a child. She was barren. In those days, if you are barren, people would say it's because God has cursed you. There's something wrong. This woman has carried this shame, public disgrace and shame, even though both of them have kept the commandment and the law of God, and God found them righteous. These were humble people, right foundation. This man who was sent down by God grew up with a parent that were righteous, that were humble, that depended on the Lord God Almighty. It has the right attitude. We talk about the right attitude. That this son did not claim to be the Messiah. And it has the right feet and right temperament. You know? He has the right feet and the right temperament. So right feet. Being humble. You need humility in the startup. If you want to be a part of a startup kingdom of God, you need to be humble. You need to read the pulse of the people. We are serving people. We need to read the pulse of the people where they are. They failed. One of the startups failed because they were concentrating on the product and they did not give care to the customer. What they were thinking, right? So these smart people, overconfident, arrogant people are looking at how great their product is. We're going to give the greatest product in the world, but they do not take the pulse of the customer, whether they like it or not. In the kingdom of God, it's about people. It's not how well we run every program. Because if we are running the program and forgetting the people, then who are we serving? Like in Bethlehem, everybody has a role and a job. If you're thinking only of fulfilling your job and getting it done and have no connection with the 15,000 plus people come, then our startup kingdom is failed already. It has the right name. Whose name was John? Right? So, I was reading on Google, because we have a lot of people working at Google. And the Google name was an accident. See? They didn't start with the name Google. In fact, the original name that they wanted to start was like Google. It was not Google. But there was a man named, the one co-founder of Sun Microsystems. His name is Andres. He wrote a check of 100,000 check to invest in this non-existent organization yet. 100,000, Google, right? So Larry Page and Sergey, they had to go and open a bank account, Google, with that 100,000 check to get that money to start that company. Google was by accident. John was not an accident. See, Kingdom Startup Plan was revealed in the name. How so? Because it has the right name with the right plan. Okay, let's go back. So Elizabeth and Zacharias, although they were priests from the priestly family, and they were righteous, they kept all the commandments, people were looking at them, shaking their head, giving publicly disgrace, a barren woman. So she carried this shame and weight wherever she goes. Then God revealed his plan with the name John. Do you know the meaning of John? God is gracious. Isn't that the right name? For a barren woman, publicly disgraced, for a couple that are misunderstood, that carry the weight of people looking at them, God gave a right name, John. God is gracious. I'm going to be gracious to both of you. Both of you are advanced in age, but I'm going to give you a son. His name is going to be called John. God did not make a mistake. He sent the right fit, a humble man. And then he gave him a right name. God is gracious. In the disgrace of Elizabeth and Zacharias is our disgrace. It's the disgrace of humanity was with Elizabeth and Zacharias, and God is sending John to prepare the way for the coming Messiah to take our disgrace. Public disgrace. That Satan has shamed us. God was going to take that, and he sent a man named John. Right name with the right plan. And he has the right faith. So people say, oh, I'm going to name it John. Like whether it's Google or Snapchat or, you know, Twitter. You know, why do you come up with all this weird name? Will it sell? Will it go? But the leaders that knows have the right resolve. They don't change. They say, yeah, we're going to, you know, Microsoft, Apple. We're going to go with Apple. Who's going to buy Apple? Come on. Does the leader change? No. They have the right resolve. Here, the people came to Elizabeth and said, you have no family with the name John. None of your relatives have a name John. Why are you going to name him John? See, Elizabeth did not go to Zacharias and say, Zacharias, people are saying, why are we going to name him John? You know? Nobody in our family has a name John. Let's change it. Maybe to like Zacharias Jr. I don't know. Right? They didn't do that. They didn't do that. They had the right faith. God spoke to both of them. You name your child John, to both Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they named the son John, knowing that God is gracious. God will be gracious to me. When God said, you're going to have a child, they believed in that name John, that God will be gracious to me. When Mary went to Elizabeth and the baby jumped in the belly of Elizabeth, and they both prophesied and sang a song, and Elizabeth told Mary that God has taken my reproach away from the people. That's being gracious. Right name, right fit, right temperament. If you're not humble, you can't have the message. If you're not in tune with God, you can't fulfill. If you don't, you may be the right fit, but if you don't have the right temperament, You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't serve the Lord. You know. But God is good. He's good. And the right mission. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. You know. The recruits of the kingdom started is to bear witness to the light. It's to prepare the way. It's the right target. You need to have the right target. The mission statement of Google is to organize all information and make it universally accessible and useful. Okay? Now, they did that pretty good. After 14 years or more later, there was a conversation with Larry Page and Sergey, and they're thinking, maybe it's time for us to change the mission statement. So instead of just organizing it and make it accessible and useful, maybe we should have add maybe something like positive impact in the society, right? They want to make the information that have a social impact, positive social impact. Because they were doing it, their goal was that they will do a few things really well. And they did really well. Because they did few things really well, what happened? Now they are so good at so many things. But they didn't start with, we're going to be great at so many things. They started with, we're going to be great at few things. Because they were great at few things, now they're great at so many things. So my son and we were talking and coming down from our school to our house and say, I was going through a meme. And say, what was the meme about? Oh, it was about order, hierarchy. So there is Google. Above Google is internet. Above internet is electricity. Said, okay, yeah, that sounds, above electricity is God. Right? So they were talking about the meme, Google, internet, electricity, and God. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, God is the true light. God gives the energy, the super energy that we're looking for. You know, right temperament, right attitude. And we're talking about Google, Apple, Facebook, because it has great impact in the society. Right? When Larry Page and Sergey came, what did they do? They wanted to challenge the corporate tradition. The institutional tradition, they were like a rebel. So they didn't wear tie, suit, and shoes, right? They would wear like a casual Facebook t-shirt and a hoodie or like a Vans-like shoe or, you know, Under Armour shoes with very casual. The thing now, so Ford, GM, the CEO started dressing like Larry Page, right? Every company. Not just Larry Page. Now even the pastors are dressing like Mark Zuckerberg, right? 60, 17 years old in their hoodie, right? Wearing a Vans shoe and Under Armour, carrying some backpack, see? It has influenced a lot. For me, I'm a rebel. I don't wear hoodie. Because it has become the norm now, I wear shoes. I don't wear Vans, you know, I wear jacket. I'm a rebel here in the valley. Yeah. What is the model that you give? What is the message that you're giving out? Are you living for the mission? But it works for Larry Page. He built, and Sergey, they built one of the greatest companies in the world. That's who they were. That's who they were. Because when John the Baptist came, okay, what did he do? He wore camel hair, right? He had a camel hair. His clothes was made in camel hair. And then he had a leather belt. And he ate locust and wild honey. That was his food. So locust is like eating gross food competition or something, you know. Eating locust, wild honey, camel hair, leather belt. But in Mark 11, Jesus said, if you want to look for a nice, well-dressed, clothed people, go to the palace. But what do you find in the desert? A man on camel hair, leather belt, eating locusts and honey. Did it work? Yeah, it worked. Because thousands of people came, went out to look for him in the wilderness because he was different. And he was on message. And thousands of people were baptized. He bore witness to the light. We don't just follow people because they do stuff. You can't just be Mark Zuckerberg. He has his own plan and it worked. You know, when Mark Zuckerberg gave a speech in Harvard when he founded the Facebook, he spoke to almost an empty auditorium. There were very few people that came to his first speech on Facebook, connecting people. And in 2009, when Facebook was going to be turned into serious business and they're going to have their own IPO and thing, what did he do? He put on a suit and a tie and a shoe and went around and talked about his business because he wants people to take it seriously. Did it work for him? Yeah, it worked for him. You can't just follow people without a message. If I stand up here with camel hair and leather belt and eat locusts and wild honey, the next Sunday many people that are visiting today will not come back. His right vision, that all through might him believe. Because he came and what was his vision? He said, repent. Repent. He see the repentance of people. And thousands of people came and he baptized them. He saw the vision. See, it's not about clothing. This guy is the right fit. He has the right name. He wants to show that God is gracious. Right? He has the right mission. I'm going to talk about God and prepare the way for Christ to come. I'm out there because of that. What's my vision? My vision is that I'm going to ask them to repent and I'm going to baptize them. And the one that is coming will baptize them with fire. The kingdom startup goal was to prepare the way of the true light. So the right vision has the right message. What is your message today? For John, it was repent. What is your Christmas message? And the right vision has the right response from the people because they were on target. The message was on target, and the response of people was amazing. We fail, just like many startups failed. I failed many times working in God Inc. I remember I was fasting under a mango tree in the University of Delhi with my Bible. Fasting from morning till evening. I was going to be there the whole day fasting. Around afternoon, maybe 1, 2 p.m., the storm started coming. I can see the storm brewing. And the storm in Delhi, it's a sandstorm. It's just the sand will come and cover you. You got to run for shelter. But then a man came, and he said to me, "What are you reading?" So I have the red Bible in my hand, reading the red letters of this gospel, and I wanted him to go away. You know, why are you here? I'm praying, that kind of thing. He said, but he sat down. So we talked about religion. I asked him, you know, why are you Hindu? He said, oh, I'm a Hindu because my parents were Hindu. He talked a long time, and I said, okay, so if there was a man or a God that said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me, no other God has said that. But if there was a God that said that, what would you do? What would you think? He said, really? I want to hear more about this. I look at it, and the dark storm and the sand is coming right behind me, right? And he said, let's go to the cafeteria, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, If I go to the cafeteria, there will be hundreds of students, and there are lots of Hindus. And he said, oh, this guy is talking about Christ, and I can see myself being swamped and kicked and beaten in the cafeteria, right? So when he said, let's go to the cafeteria, I immediately said no. So within that response of no, I have thought all these thousand thoughts, and I say, no, I'm not going. And he said, no, let's go. I said, no, I'm not going. Right? I folded my pen, I took my shoes in the plastic bag, put the Bible, I got up, and I ran so that the storm would not catch me. But it got me. I was all wet. I ran home. I left him behind. I was fasting and praying. Oh, my startup failed right there. I had a misstep right there. You know? So many times here in Bethlehem, there was a young man that came. And he's saying, and we're talking, I'm by the fire, I'm talking, I came here because my parents came. You know. And here I said, oh, so what about you? You know, are you a Christian? No, I'm not a Christian. I don't go to church. And said, so what do you think about Jesus and this story? Oh, I don't have time for this kind of thing. You know, I have to study, and my mind is not on these things. I'm trying to have this conversation with him. He gave nowhere and said, oh, I don't have time. He pushed me away. My startup failed right there. I have many missteps. And I was talking to a Hindu woman who is pregnant with a child. And she said, I'm pregnant. This is unexpected. But, you know, a couple of months ago, I went to a Bible study group and they were talking about Abram. Oh. So I said to her, maybe you will be a blessing to your family because none of their families are Christian. Because Abraham took a step of faith and went out and he was a blessing to many. Maybe you might be the blessing. What do you think about God and Christ? Say, I think he's true. I think Jesus is true, but I'm not there yet. See, if I go by all the failures of not making it and say, oh, you know, I'm not going to share the gospel anymore. Too many failures. But on the last day, we didn't have any souls saved Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was expecting, right, oh, we're going to have so many people saved. I'm going to go save somebody, you know. And they say, no, don't come to me. You know, like, whoa, what's going on? And Monday, my wife and I said, we got to save somebody today. We got to share the gospel. This is the last day. We got to go and do something, right? Nothing happened. Until the last show, Kirsten was sharing her testimony, and two young, one boy, one girl, ran forward to receive Christ. And as I was sharing to her that you are awesome and special, God has made you. You know, like girls when they're excited, you can see on their face, and they like they will keep this thing. You know, they're excited. She was so happy. She was so happy. But if I had based on my failure of two encounters, we would not have continued to do that, right? And I was holding my daughter. Everybody's gone or kind of going. People are winding down, sitting by the fire. Chuck was there. And I was there. My wife was running around taking care of stuff. The animal handlers couple, Jennifer and Glenn, was there. And there was this young guy that have helped in Bethlehem for many years came. And God told me right there, asked him, do you want to be saved? Do you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? I looked up to him and said, hey, buddy, you know, have you given your life to Christ? No. You know that he loves you. You have served there for so many years. Thousands of people have been blessed because you work behind. This is God's love, God's story. You're awesome. You know, God wants you to receive all the potential in your life. Do you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said, yes, I want. Right? I wanted to save people by Thursday. It didn't work. We didn't have stories much to tell until Monday, Sunday night. God has his own way of doing things. His name was Brandon. I don't know what the church will do with him. That's on you guys. And as I was talking to him, I had received an email before and said, Brandon, go and meet Greg Johnson. Okay? Brandon, because Greg Johnson has the same name, Brandon. And I thought he was the same son. And this guy, Greg Johnson, had been in the hospital for 4 or 5 days with pneumonia, and it was very tough and things. So I went there on Wednesday, because it was Monday. I took a break on Tuesday. It was too tiring. I prayed and went on Wednesday. He was sitting up, happy, and talking all kinds of things. Right? And I said to him, hey, buddy, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received him? You've been trying on your own for many years. You can't do it. People thought you were going to die. A lot of people think you are going to die. What are you going to do? Can you make it on your own again? Do you want to receive the Lord? Or what do you think about him? He said, I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There, on Wednesday. You know? So what did I do? I did a dance. Like when people catch a touchdown, they do all kinds of dance. What? I went there. You in the hospital, you know? I'm dancing there, right? Yeah. And he looked at me and said, Pastor, I like the energy. I like the energy. I said, yeah, give me a high five. You're going to be saved. Your name's written in the book of life. 1:15, December 14, 1:15 p.m. He came to the church office on Friday. And Trudy was saying, this guy's different. What happened to him? I fed him with Holy Spirit. He's drunk in the Holy Spirit. But we got to pray. Addiction's very hard. We go back every day. We fall every day. We have to have the right message for people to have the right response. It's not about presenting a product. If you just concentrate on product and how great the product is going to be and fail to read the pulse of the customers, we're not going to be able to reach any people. So don't try to be Larry Page, Sergey, Mark Zuckerberg, Tim Cook. No. Be yourself. Be yourself. You don't have to wear a camel hair, Vans shoe, Under Armour, hoodies. Just be yourself. Have the right message, the right vision, the right mission. Be comfortable with who God has called you. And go out there and serve him and see what he can do for us. As I mentioned, can we ask the worship team to come up and so we can... As I mentioned, just this church, I'm not saying about other church, but as I mentioned, we want this church to be filled with the power of God in this church, that we are known for God's power. That's what we want to be known for. That the power of God is here.